Well, I want to welcome you. If you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom. It's just an honor that you're here with us. Of course, to my CA family, great to be with you as well. Those of you that are investigating faith, maybe new to faith, grateful for you as well. Just a couple little items I want to call your attention to. Next week, Mark kicks off a brand new series on the power of simple words. And on Sunday, we have over 100 middle school students and leaders who are headed to a week at QMSD, which is our summer camp for middle school students. So I want to encourage you to be praying for them. And last note, just to let you know, Kathy's retirement officially happens kind of the end of August. And so we wanted to give you a little bit of time where maybe you could get on her calendar or grab her, hug her neck, say thanks to her. And so wanted to let you know that as well. Well, this week we come to the final week in our series on the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and why all of that matters for your life. We are not just trying to deepen our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we've been saying all along, you can know all the facts about someone and you can have all the facts about the person correct. That doesn't mean that you have a relationship with them. Instead, we're trying to deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I hope that has been happening for you throughout this series. I know it has for me. Just to remind us kind of some of where we've been, we've seen that the Holy Spirit is a person with a will and an intellect, a personality who can be lied to, grieved, resisted, and can become your friend. He comes to convict us and purify us so we can live in the freedom that He has with the fruit of His presence that He wants to give us. He comes to help us in our weakness, to pray for us. He comes to seek to unify the church as Jesus prayed that the church would be one. On Pentecost weekend, we saw that He comes to give power, but not just any kind of power. He comes to give power to be witnesses, to tell everyone everywhere this good news about Jesus Christ, and that He comes to guide us, to teach us, to lead us into the good plans that He has for our life. In fact, He even comes to give us authority and power to drive out evil spirits and to give us spiritual gifts so that we can discover them and fan them into full flame. We took a little bit more of an in-depth look at the gift of speaking in tongues as well as the gift of healing. And this weekend, we're going to look at the gift of prophecy and the gift of words of knowledge. So what is prophecy? What role does it serve in our life? What are its limits? How do you know if you have a word of prophecy to give someone? What do you do if someone comes to you and says that they have a word of prophecy to give you? And what difference does this make in your life in the here and now? So we're going to consider all that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, we do thank You for all of the great things that You've done throughout history, and not only history, but what You've done in each of our lives and our stories. God, I pray that You would give us eyes to see that and remember it. So as we come now to Your word, would You speak to us? Would You awaken us to what You want to say into our heart and our will and our mind? Lord, speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it over to the center section. If you're catching this on our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app, the notes should be there for you and those of you online as well. You can see the teaching notes that you can fill out throughout our time together, as well as the scripture passages directly from God's word. Well, prophecy is one of the marks of the Holy Spirit being given to God's people. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit was first really kind of given to the church, Peter explains what happens by using a prophecy, ironically, that was made by the Old Testament prophet Joel. It says in Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out My Spirit, even on My servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." Biblically, the word prophecy, it simply means to speak, serving as an interpreter of God's will or purpose, either in the present moment or in the coming future. In fact, this gift of the Holy Spirit, of the gift of prophecy, it's listed as one of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit desires to give to believers. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy." So prophecy is even kind of singled out as like, desire all the spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. goes on in verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, their encouragement, and comfort. So the goal of this spiritual gift, as with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is to build up the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by means of that same Spirit." And sometimes, just as we read, the Holy Spirit will give someone a word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge would be defined as the person being given information or access to information that about you, about your life, about the future, about the present moment, that otherwise they really wouldn't have any natural way of knowing that information. And that is used to strengthen and build you up. We are eagerly told to eagerly desire this gift so that God can use it to strengthen and encourage and comfort those who will receive the prophetic words that God might give us to impart to them. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would be involved in this, telling us what is yet to come. In John 16:13, he said it this way, "But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." There you see that he's going to tell you what's on the horizon. "He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." So what I want to do with the rest of our time is just pull out five things about this particular gift that will deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit as we walk this out in this particular spiritual gift. The first thing is this, that a prophetic word can prepare us for what is ahead. There's an old saying that one of my theology professors used to say all the time. He would say that forewarned is forearmed. That if you know something is coming down the pipe to you, you can be a little bit more prepared for what's coming down the line. Knowing what's on the horizon prepares our hearts and our mind for it. Consider what happened to Paul in the city of Caesarea while he was on one of his missionary journeys. In Acts 21, verse 10, we pick up the story. It says this, "After they had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, 'The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And when he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'Well, the Lord's will be done.' Paul was indeed bound and placed in prison, just like this prophetic word had predicted. But I would guess that he went to Jerusalem with a different, more prepared heart for what was about to happen, for what he was about to encounter. He probably was strengthened in knowing what was coming his way. It didn't catch him by surprise. Now, a prophetic word about the future doesn't always have to be something that is negative or foreboding, like you're going to be put in prison. It could be something that could be positive as well, that God might want to do in your life and give you a prophetic word to kind of increase your faith for it and strengthen you for when it comes. For example, when I was 27 years old, I was in England, and there was a gathering of maybe 40 or 50 of us that were there, and a man named John White, who I had never met before, came, and he kind of went around and just prayed that God would give him a word for each person. And they had a person there that would just kind of record or type out. They actually had a tape recorder that would record it, and then they would type it out later to give it to you. Now, I didn't know John from Adam. I'd never met this guy. I'd never met him prior to that moment. I hadn't even shaken his hand and said hi to him when we were getting tea over in England. I hadn't even done that. And so we're there, and they're writing down, recording what he says. And he said a number of things, but one of the things that he said to me is he said, God is going to use you as a writer in the future. Writing will go far beyond what you ever may imagine. Now, you need to know, at that point, I'm 27 years old. I had never written anything. I could barely write my name. In fact, I had never even had a thought about writing anything. That sounded like a lot of work. So this whole idea that writing is going to go far beyond what you imagine, I remember thinking, well, that's going to be pretty easy because I've imagined nada. I've imagined Zippo. I've imagined imagine, zilch. And plus, I kind of thought, well, what am I going to write that, you know, other people haven't written and said better? And but then I said, okay, Lord, I don't even know if that's from you, but if you want to use me in that way, you just let me know. But you're going to have to bring this to pass because I don't even know where to start on something like this. Now, from that moment, 13 years passed in my life and nothing tractionable began to happen. But I knew in the back of my mind that there was this word. And as a side note, I also know in Scripture that oftentimes a prophetic word would be given and there would be long periods of time before that prophetic word would actually come to pass. So 13 years go by, and then suddenly in 2014, within a two-week window of time, four different publishing companies contact me and invite me to write a book. Now, here's the thing. I didn't have a book agent. I didn't have a book idea. I didn't even have a blog. I had nothing. I had nothing at all going for me. And yet you have these four different publishing companies coming. Long story short, one of the publishers actually said, listen, we don't want you to write one book. We want you to write two books, two different books. So the first one came out in 2015 called Curious About the Questions of Jesus. And I was supposed to write a second book that was supposed to be published in 2016, but I simply had too much going on, kind of leading and serving in the life of our church. So I actually told them, I said, look, I felt like, you know, a middle school kid that was like missing the deadline for the book report or something. I was like, I'm not going to be able to deliver like on the deadline. You know, I'm going to get a failing grade. I said, look, I'm not certain I have time to do this. So why don't I just give you back the advance royalties that you gave me. And I just don't know that I'm going to be able to do this. Got too much going on right now. And here's the weird thing. They said, well, actually, we prayed about it, and we feel like God is saying that you're supposed to keep the royalties and that he wants you to write a second book. So whenever you get around to it, we want you to write that second book. Now, that seemed weird to me. That's not how I would do business, but that's kind of how they were doing it. So then, kind of remembering that prophetic word and with the encouragement of my wife, 3 years late, I finally carved out the time to write a second book called Down to Earth, which came out just a month ago. And along the way, and this is just kind of God at work, I almost feel sheepish telling this story. The book came out, and I was invited to be interviewed at a conference that had 3,500 leaders there from 54 different countries that were gifted a copy of the book. Now, you can imagine, I'm thinking, yeah, that's far beyond what I ever imagined writing would go. Sometimes God gives you a prophetic word because he wants you to be prepared when the moment comes that that's actually what he wants you to step into. So sometimes a prophetic word is preparing you for the future. But it's not always about the future, which is the second thing we see. The second thing is this, is a prophetic word can change what is happening right now. Now, I've been on a lot of prayer teams in my life. A prayer team is just maybe two or more people that offer to pray for people after or during a worship service or in some other setting, maybe a retreat, whatever it might be. And countless times I've seen someone come for prayer, requesting prayer for something specific. And then when we start to pray, somebody else on the prayer team will get a word of knowledge about a situation that the person hasn't actually mentioned. And oftentimes the person who's being prayed for, they'll kind of look shocked or sometimes they'll even tear up and they'll say, how'd you know that? But more important than the how'd you know that is the reality in that moment that they're like, God is real and he's here and he cares about my life and he cares enough to reveal what's going on to this person. And by revealing it, it shows just how intimate God is with our life. That God isn't just out there somewhere, but he's the God who has numbered even the hairs on our head. Recently, I had a guy in our church be prayed for by someone he did not know, and the person did not know him. So the man that was receiving prayer shared what was on his heart to be prayed for. Hey, would you just pray for these things? Well, the other man began to pray, and then he switched to something completely off topic, something that the guy requesting prayer hadn't even mentioned anything about this. So the man who's praying, as he begins to pray, he says, is your wife praying about a job change? He said, I just had a sense that she is and that you two are trying to decide on that. My sense is that the Lord is saying that she's not to accept that job because he has something better for her that is coming in 6 months. Now, here's the thing. They were indeed praying about a potential job offer that his wife had received, and they had to decide what to do and how to respond by the end of that very day. And they were leaning against it, but they felt a little bit afraid to pass it up because it was better in some ways than her current job. And that is called a word of knowledge, right? That this man who was praying, somehow God gave him access to knowledge of what was going on in their life. Well, the couple prayed about this word. They tested it. I'll talk more about that as we go on. They decided to pass on the offer, trusting that God did indeed have something better that would come along in the next 6 months. And so we're kind of walking that out. Now, you could think, well, what did that really change? I mean, they were already leaning against it, so why does that really matter? Well, it did change something because this couple, I mean, imagine if that's you, you would feel so seen and so covered and so cared for by God. Plus, they made the decision, even though it was a decision they were leaning towards making, they made it with a greater sense of confidence and calm that wasn't there previously. They don't have to look back and constantly second guess. You see, prophecy is a vivid expression of a genuine personal relationship between God and his people. In Acts 11, we see a prophetic word that was given that happened in the there and then that changed what was going on in the moment. In Acts 11, 27, it says this, "During the same time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus," same guy as before, "stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul." See, what you have going on here is because of a prophetic word, the disciples begin to give money to help the Christians in an area that was going to be impacted by the famine. And so in the moment, they literally changed. They wouldn't have given that offering without that prophetic word. But they give that offering because they want to show care for the brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to be impacted by that famine. So it changed what happened in the moment, and it also prepared the Christians in Judea for the coming famine that was about to hit their area. The third thing that we see in God's word about prophetic words is this, is that prophetic words must always be tested before taking any action. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says this, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil." Now that word there, test, it means to make a critical examination of something to determine its genuineness. So how do you test a word, right? If somebody says, "Hey, I think God might be saying this to you through me," how do you test if that's real? A couple of different ways I want to offer to you. First, a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit will never contradict God's written word. And so you just know that kind of out of the gate. It doesn't matter if the person says, "I had a vision," or "I had a dream," or "I had an angel appear." None of that matters if what they're saying is contradicting God's written word. Also, what we just saw there, it says stay away from every kind of evil. And it's not by accident that it's saying hold on to what is good within the prophetic word, stay away from what is evil, because the Holy Spirit will never give you a prophetic word that leads you into any form of evil. I mean, it's called the Holy Spirit for a reason, right? So he's going to be leading you into greater holiness, not into greater evil. Even if you're thinking, well, the ends justify the means, it's like, no, the Holy Spirit will never lead you into any form of evil. Another way to test it is this. How does it connect with other parts of your discernment? For example, in the example of the guy and the wife's job offer, it was confirming what their own prayers had already been directing them towards, but they were still maybe a little bit uncertain or fearful of what they were doing. So it connected by confirming what they were already going to do. So that allowed them to make the decision with greater confidence. Another question you could ask is, how does it connect with what else is going on around you? For example, I've shared this. It's a recent one that was given to me. I received a prophetic word that someone gave me, saying that God was going to open up some new speaking opportunities for me, but to not be afraid. And as I shared before, I'm not really afraid to speak. So I kind of was like, oh, okay, well, you know, that seems kind of weird. And then on Easter, somebody came and they invited me to go to Sri Lanka to speak at a pastor's conference. And you all remember what happened on Easter, right? There was a bunch of bombings there. there and attacks that had gone on. And as I got that invite, I'm like, okay, now I understand why it said, do not be afraid. I wasn't afraid to go to Bakersfield, but Sri Lanka feels like a whole different thing where there's bombings going on. And yet, as I kind of prayed that through, I talked to some others, I talked with my wife, we prayed it all through. We felt like, yeah, God is inviting me to do that. In fact, I then invited Marvin to pray about joining me, and he and his wife prayed through all that. So the two of us are going to be headed to Sri Lanka in June of 2020 to speak to all these pastors and to encourage them. That's coming directly out of a prophetic word that connected to what else was going on in my life. It connected, and then God confirmed in Marvin's life other ways as well. I didn't just blindly accept the invite. I prayed it through. Plus, as I've made that decision, I have an abiding sense of God's peace that he wants me to go and speak to those pastors. So as God's word says, don't scoff at prophetic words. Neither do you blindly accept them, but instead you test them and you hold on to what is good and you stay away from every kind of evil. Now, maybe you're not just only interested in receiving prophetic words or words of wisdom or knowledge that somebody else is giving you, but maybe you're saying, look, I eagerly desire that God would give me a prophetic gifting. And so how do I begin to grow in that? How do I begin to access this gift to build up the church? So then the question becomes, how does this gift show up in the lives of those who have it? So the fourth thing would be this, is that prophetic words can come to the person in many different forms. Now, a word is a little bit of a misnomer. Sometimes it comes literally as a whisper or as a word, but it can come other ways as well. In the Old Testament and New Testament, people with prophetic giftings received the message from God in a number of variety of forms. In Matthew 2, we see the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, directing him to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. So sometimes it can be in a dream. We see that in the Old Testament as well. In Acts chapter 9, a disciple named Ananias sees a vision instructing him to go and pray for Paul to receive his sight after Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus. So other times it can be a vision that you're given in prayer. At another point, we're simply told this in Acts 13 verse 2. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off. So sometimes it's just simply the Holy Spirit can speak in the midst of worship and prayer. I've had people who I know, and time has shown that they have very accurate prophetic gifts, tell me that for some of them, they can literally kind of in their mind's eye, they'll see a word or they'll see a phrase. Other times people will say that they'll see a picture in their mind's eye. Others have told me that it was just this kind of strong sense. Like in the Old Testament, it talks about God's word being like fire in the bones. And they just had a sense as they're praying for someone that they had to ask a question about this particular area of their life. Still, others have said that it comes to them as they're praying for someone, a particular verse will like come to their mind. And it's just really strong, like impression upon them of this verse. And still others, as we saw earlier in this series about how the Holy Spirit will guide us, sometimes it's just the, I just had a thought moment. They're praying for someone and they'll have an insight and they'll offer it and that will be the thing that the person will say, yeah, actually that God really is meeting me through that. The point is this, is that if you want to grow in this gift, you need to know that there are many different ways that God gives people prophetic words or messages, not just one, because if you think they only come in one way, then you might miss what God wants to do and say through your life. And then as the word comes to you, as with all gifts, you need to use your faith. You need to apply your faith to use it. In Romans 12:6, it says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Listen, no one gets built up if you don't have the courage to humbly share what you believe that God has spoken to you for that other person. If you kind of feel like, well, I think God has kind of given me something, but I don't know, and I don't want to upset them, or I don't want to push them away, and what if I'm wrong, and all these questions come in. You've got to say, God, would you give me the faith to speak out to the person what you've given me to say? Which brings us to the fifth thing, which is this. Prophetic words must always be delivered with humility and love. Amen. Humility means that we're never to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, somebody might say, well, they said that in the Old Testament. Yeah, they did. And if they were wrong, they were killed. So if you're like, if you're up for that to be the standard in your life, then I guess have at it, right? No, in the Old Testament, if somebody said, "Thus saith the Lord," and then their words were proven to be false over time, they were to be stoned. So practically, what humility and love looks like when you're practicing this gift is like this. Hey, my sense is this. Does that make any sense to you at all? Or the verse that's coming to mind as I pray for you is this. Does that resonate with you at all? Or I'm getting a picture of whatever. How does that strike you? Or when I was praying for you, I just had a sense that I was supposed to ask you about, and then you see how they respond. Or I can't get this one word or this one phrase out of my mind. And so I don't know if this means anything, but here's what I can't get out of my mind. Does that mean anything to you? Several weeks ago, I had a guy come and ask me to pray for him, and he had told me what was going on. I started praying for him, and I immediately feel a sense that I'm supposed to ask him about something else that he didn't ask for prayer about. So I ask him, and he just begins to tear up. This is like a big 6'3" strong dude, and he just starts tearing up. And I'm like, "Does that like resonate with you at all?" And he starts wiping the tears from his eyes. He's like, "Yeah." And so I prayed for what he originally asked me to pray for, but we also then prayed for the thing that he maybe was too afraid to ask for prayer for. And yet God revealed it anyways because he wanted to strengthen him, wanted to encourage him, wanted to comfort him. We deliver these words with humility. You know, faith and humility are not opposing forces in our life. You can be completely humble and completely faithful at the same time. Your word that you give doesn't gain more authority because you power up on someone or you say it really loud. In fact, I'm convinced the louder you say it, the more insecure you are. God can speak through a calm whisper if it's really a prophetic word. You don't have to power up on anyone. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13:9, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." That's part of the reason why we're humble, right? Because we're recognizing God's word says, you're going to have gifts of prophecy, but they're going to be in part. Goes on to verse 12. "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. Then," meaning when Christ comes again, "we'll see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I'll know everything completely just as God knows me completely." See, being humble and being loving is acknowledging that we prophesy in part. No matter how great your prophetic gift might be, it's always in part. Plus, when you're humble and you do it lovingly, it gives you greater freedom to grow in your gift. Because you're not saying, "Hey, I'm right all the time." That's not what you're saying. You're just offering, "Hey, this is just a sense that I have." And as you get feedback from people, it's like, "Yeah, that really resonates with me." The more you get that, the more you'll be able to sharpen your gift and discern when the Lord is really giving you a word for someone and maybe when he's not. We offer prophetic words or possible words of knowledge and love because the goal of this gift, as we've seen, as with all of the spiritual gifts, is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort the church. And as we do that, we sharpen our gift because we use it in humility. As we use it in humility, the more you share and the more you pay attention to how people are impacted by it, the more you'll be able to distinguish when it's a prophetic word from the Lord to share with someone that he maybe has given you. And so let's pray. So Lord, before we come to your table, we just want to have you apply your word to us. God's word says, "Eagerly desire the gifts, especially prophecy." And if you want that gift, now is just a time where you can say, "Holy Spirit, I would like for you to give me that gift." I mean, why else would God's word say eagerly desire it, especially prophecy, if he didn't want you to ask? Now, he's the one that gets to choose and distribute the gifts, but I'm convinced that he gives gifts sometimes when we ask, oftentimes when we ask. Ask him to give you that gift. Ask him to begin to give you accurate prophetic words and words of knowledge for people as you pray for them. So you can ask him even now. And so, Lord, would you release that gift among us through the power of your Holy Spirit? You already have, God. I'm grateful for it. Would you continue to do it in people's lives that have maybe never experienced it before? Others of you, maybe you know that you have that gift, but you're not fanning it into full flame. God's word tells us that when you have a spiritual gift, to fan it into a full flame, to use your spiritual gift to build up this church, and you do that in humility and love. So if you do have that spiritual gift, I want to encourage you to have a conversation about joining the prayer team and going through our prayer team training, because that'll give you a space to begin to use it, and people will be built up by it as they come and ask to be prayed for. So fan it into full flame. Maybe others of you, you've never received a prophetic word that was accurate. And so maybe now you just need to say, God, I would love it if you would speak to me through that way. Ask God to speak to you by pointing you to someone with that gift and having them give a word to you. Now, after every service, every weekend, we have prayer teams. And not every prayer team member has this gift, but many do. And so I want to invite you, when the time comes, to come and be prayed for. Who knows? This could be the weekend, maybe for the very first time, that God would speak a prophetic word into your life, a word of knowledge into your life. And last of all, Lord, we just say, would you pour out the fullness of your Spirit on this church, including all of the gifts of the Spirit, including prophecy, including all the fruit of the Spirit. But above all, make us a church that loves one another well and deeply and consistently, as your word says in 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And so, Lord, may it be that we practice this gift given by you in the context of love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come this weekend to celebrate and remember all that Christ has done for us. And on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ took a loaf of bread with his disciples and broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." And what are we remembering? We're remembering his life and death and resurrection. We're remembering that he freely came to give his life and die on the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin, so that we could be made reconciled to God. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant that is based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And so the ushers are preparing to come. They'll come in a moment. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to this table. And so let's pray as we just prepare our hearts as we come. So Lord, now, if there are any who are here who have never given their life to Christ, if you want to do that now, you can do that and say, "God, I want to give my life to you. I want to place my hope and faith and trust in you. I want to trust that not only are you real and that you exist, but that you're good and you're for me and not against me, that the fullness of who you are is made known to me through Jesus Christ. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of my sin. Pay my penalty. And give me your righteousness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a desire to know your word and your will in my life. Give me a love for your bride, the church, and my love for my neighbors as well, and even my enemies, as I follow you all the days of my life." If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, you're welcome to this table and welcome to the family of God. Others of us, maybe as we come to the table, you just need to say, "God, thank you." Still others, you need to confess a sin. Whatever it might be, you can do that even now.